Well, good morning. Wow, wonderful to be here in Toowoomba. Warm hearts, cold hands, warm hearts. Yeah, I've heard so much about Humour and Church of Christ over the years, and it's a delight finally to actually be here with you all. Welcome if you're online as well. Thanks for joining us. Imagine you've got a night, free night to watch a movie, okay? And you're going to choose a movie. What genre are you choosing? Okay, think about that. Who's choosing a comedy? Gee, okay. Who's choosing an action movie? Hey, yeah. Love it. Fast and Furious or something. Yeah. Who's into drama? You just love the drama stuff. Where are those people? We've got a few of those. Period movies. Oh, my goodness. Jane, I had one of the best afternoon naps of my life in a Jane Austen movie. Yeah, my wife took me. We made the mistake of being in one of those cinemas where you could recline the chair. Yep, 3 minutes in, I'm gone. It was fantastic. Love that. Scary movies. We'll pray for you later. Oh, yeah. Yeah, my wife and I, we got watching this series a few years ago, and it was called Chesapeake Shores. It was very lovely. It was just nice. And it was about a family, a multi-generational family. And at the end of the first series, there was this picture of the family around this table. I think we've got a picture of that coming up on the screen. And, of course, it was all beautiful people. They're all actors. But there was actually something about this family sitting around a table. And when I saw that, it felt so good. I thought, I want to be at that table. There's something about people coming around a table and having a meal together that I think is just so good and so welcoming, and it's fantastic. Who's been around church life long enough to remember action songs? I don't know if you still do them here. Do you still do action songs here? No, not really, just as well, because I think some of us have been scarred by action songs in church. I don't know. But when I was young, we used to sing this action song, and it's about he brought me into his banquet. It's out of the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 4. He brought me into his banqueting table, and we'd sort of eat, you know, and then his banner over me is love. Some of you know it. Some of you know it. So who wants to actually do it? No, we're not going to do it. You relax. It's cool. The whole Song of Solomon is it's a picture of, well, it's about a king who pursues a young woman. He's falling in love with this young woman. That's a romance, you know. But it's a picture of God and people. The king chases this woman, and earlier in the book, you get this idea that this young woman, she's not perhaps from the right side of the tracks. You know, there are other women who she thinks are far more beautiful and wonderful, and she's sort of rejected by them. But the king sees something in her and says, I want her, and he goes after her. And it's this picture of God. You know, though we are those who perhaps have come from the wrong side of the tracks, and yet God wants us for himself. This beautiful picture of God saying, come to my table. You may have been rejected somewhere. You may not have felt like you're good enough somewhere, but I want you. And so would you come to my table? He brought me into his banqueting table, and his banner over me is love. That's the picture of God saying, come, you're welcome at my table. I wonder if you've ever felt rejection or that you're not good enough in life. Well, God says, I love you, I accept you, and I want you to come and be at my table. It's a picture of coming in to relationship with God. We got two daughters, a son-in-law, and a 12-week-old grandson who turns out to be, You should be clever, because he turns out to actually be perhaps the most intelligent child on the planet. Any other grandparents know what I'm talking about? Oh, yeah. Oh, no, look, he's a gorgeous little boy, and it's fantastic. But with our daughters, many years ago, we got to New York, and our daughters wanted to go to a musical, and they chose Beauty and the Beast. It was playing in New York at that time, and some of you may be old enough to remember the name Donny Osmond. He was playing that night, and so we went along, and they, you know, this story of the beast, and he's in the castle, and the servants have been turned into these implements of plates and saucers and clocks and various things, and this young girl Belle, she turns up at the castle, and these implements, they welcome her in and they sing a song. And it goes, "Be our guest." Yeah, you guys over here know this song. Woo! I take it there's been some school musicals with Beauty and the Beast or something going on over here. Be our guest, be our guest, be our guest, be our guest. Actually, I can't remember the rest. It's a beautiful song. Beautiful song. But there's through Scripture this picture of God saying to humanity, be our guest. Come into a place of relationship. Come to our table. There's a seat at the table for you. The challenge is, of course, that we are flawed people. We are sinful people. Sin has separated us from God. And so God is saying, I want to come back. I want to come back into a relationship with you. And he wonderfully actually does something himself that we've already talked about this morning. He does something to enable us to come back into that relationship, to give us the opportunity to come and sit at his table. I was reading a story of a Middle East Christian aid worker who he was in Bethlehem, which of course is part of the West Bank, and he was there with a young Muslim driver. And this driver, as he's driving, he said suddenly, "Oh," his phone rang. He answered the phone, and he said, "I've got to go to my younger brother's school," and he took this guy with him. And he went to the school, and his younger brother got into a fight with another young man at the school, and it injured him so much, the other young man had to go to hospital. And so this was a big, big drama. And the Christian aid worker stayed with this guy through this time. When he then went to the family home, and the father was there, and there was great turmoil, and phone calls were being made, and then they eventually met up with the family of the boy who was taken to hospital, and they came together and they sat together in a room, and they had a cup of tea that was pretty sour, there was talking, and then obviously things were uncomfortable, and then they got more and more comfortable, and then eventually it seemed like everything had been sorted out. And then they had another cup of tea, which now was sweet. And he realized this was a pattern of how you resolve conflict between people in that part of the world. The Bedouin tribes of that area have been doing this for a long time. They call it sulha, and it's not just a cup of tea, it's a meal. You come together for a meal, and this is a meal of reconciliation. If somebody has done something that's offensive, they've offended somebody, you meet with the party who've been offended, and you sit down together. It's actually recognized by law in some parts of the world there. And it's you settle your differences as you come together. A sulha, a meal of reconciliation. The Egyptians, years ago, when they were doing the hieroglyphics. You know, hieroglyphics, it's a picture that represents words rather than our alphabet, and you've only got so many pictures you can keep coming up with. So some pictures represent more than one word, and you understand it by the context. And interestingly, the hieroglyphic for a meal is also the same hieroglyphic for the idea of reconciliation. You just have to understand the context. So connected are these concepts. The meal of reconciliation. God seeing humanity separated from him by sin did something about it. Kiralee wonderfully talked to us about this. It was Jesus dying on the cross, paying the punishment and penalty for sin. Just before he did that, he gathers his disciples together. It's Matthew. And he says, chapter 26, verse 20, says, when evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. They'd come together for a meal. And he's instigating what we celebrated today, communion, the Lord's table, as he sat with them. And then, of course, he, not long after that, the next day, he gives his life for us. This table of remembrance of Jesus, he said, do this when you gather. And we've already done it this morning. Take this bread, take this wine, and remember my body broken for you, my blood shed for you. And this is the table of reconciliation that God invites everybody to. Come to this table and receive forgiveness. God, the one who was the offended one, but he takes the initiative, us who've made the offense, and says, come, I want to reconcile with you again. You can see this picture of the table of reconciliation right throughout Scripture as you start to understand that principle of God. God saying, be our guest. Come and be our guest. Alpha is also a table. Alpha is a way, as has already been talked about by Jenny, much like Christianity Explained, slightly different way of going about it, but similar concept, another wonderful way of bringing people in, on a journey of faith. So Alpha started many years ago in England and is now spread around the world. Around about 30 million people around the world have been to Alpha. And it's a series of videos, but you begin usually by bringing people together for a meal. There's something wonderful about inviting somebody to a meal. It opens up their hearts in some way, and you can develop friendship around a meal. And then you watch a video, a very well-produced video, and then you have a chat about that. The videos presume no understanding of Christianity, no understanding of faith. So the first video is there more to life than this? They're all built around questions. Is there more to life than this? The next one, who is Jesus? Then why did he die? Then how can I have faith? What about prayer? What about the Bible? And so on. It takes people on that journey. I've been quite involved with Christian religious instruction, RI, in schools. And the RI instructors these days tell me often when they're talking to children, they have absolutely no understanding whatsoever of Christianity. No understanding. So sometimes they've even had situations, teachers have reported using the name Jesus, starting to talk about Jesus, and a student stopping them and telling them you shouldn't use that word because they only have ever heard that as a swear word. No understanding whatsoever of a historical person, Jesus. No understanding of Scripture. Increasingly in Australia, that's the world we're in. People who don't know anything, or if they do know something, they actually know the wrong thing. And so they need to be taken on a journey of faith. And that's what Alpha provides, that journey of understanding and journey of relationship and ultimately journey, hopefully, into the arms of a God who says, there's a seat at the table. I want a relationship with you. The challenge is, whether it's Alpha or Christianity Explained or anything else that this wonderful church does, they are not going to get there unless somebody says, would you come? Would you come to the table? And that takes some courage, doesn't it, sometimes to be willing to invite somebody to come to the table. Do you mind if I teach you how to do that? You're saying yes, aren't you? You're all saying no. Well, you're saying no, we wouldn't mind. That'll be fantastic. Yes. So, interestingly, our research says that about three in 10 Australians will say yes to an invitation to something like Alpha if it's given by somebody they trust. It doesn't mean 7 out of 10 are going to say no. Nobody likes rejection. But at least some are going to say yes. So here's my old long friend, Kira Lee. And hello, Kira Lee, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Oh, good. Hey, I wonder if you'd like to come with me to Alpha. We're going to have a meal. We're going to watch a video helping us explore life and faith and have a chat. How about that?
Sounds great.
Fantastic. And Michael's with you too. Mike, would you like to come as well?
Yeah, sure.
Brilliant. Come on. Yeah, this is exciting, isn't it? Boy, yeah, you should give them a clap. There's such courage. Come on, sit at the table. We'll be back in a moment. All right. Oh, who's next? John Luke, how are you?
I'm pretty good.
Fantastic. Here's my old trusted friend. We go way back. Yeah. Hey, John Luke, Alpha, it's just a chance to explore faith and life, and we're going to have a meal and then watch a video, have a chat. Hey, would you like to come with me?
No, I'm pretty good.
What? Rejection. Pain. Oh, you've just hurt me so much. You've rejected me. This is terrible. You're terrible. This is what you say. Because it's going to happen. And are we willing sometimes to face that? For the sake of somebody coming to know the love of Christ. I hope we are. So this is what you say. You say, no problem. We're going to be running another one later in the year. You'll have another opportunity to come. Isn't that good? Fantastic. Oh, Mia, how about you? Would you like to come to Alpha?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, great. Come on, Mia. Oh, good. See what you're missing out on, John Luke? Come on. Here we go. Come and join us at the table. This is Kiralee and Michael. You'll love them. They're fantastic. Oh, yeah. Oh, so good. Problem is there's one empty chair. Another table. It's a parable Jesus told. Luke 14. He said, then the master, there's a banquet. And the master of the banquet, the thing is they've invited people and some have come and some have said no, and there's still an empty chair. And the master told his servants, go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house may be full. It's a parable again. It's a story of God wanting to have us come and fellowship with him, come to know his love and acceptance. And Jesus uses a strong word, doesn't he? Compel them to come. I mean, we're not out there going to twist somebody's arm up their back. But I think Jesus is raising the urgency of the matter because in Toowoomba today there are a lot of people who don't know the love of Christ. They don't know what it is to have that love, that acceptance, that forgiveness of sin. And they're not going to know that unless they hear the gospel. And in many cases, even coming into a meeting like this is a bridge too far. But maybe coming to a meal amongst a group of people who have been praying for them, a group of people who will receive them, love them. We say to table hosts at Alpha, if you want to become one, please talk to Jenny, talk to me afterwards. But we say to them, your job is just simply to love people so well that they'll want to keep coming back. Keep coming back and hearing again more of the gospel, more of the gospel. John 4, verses 35 to 36 in the New Living Translation. You know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest. But I say, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. The harvesters are paid good wages, and the fruit they harvest is people brought to eternal life. Our great privilege is to give people the invitation. It's the Holy Spirit's job to convince them and convict them of sin. But our task is to say, would you come? Would you come with me? This morning, I wonder whether you would consider, is there somebody in your world who doesn't yet know the love of Christ that you could invite to Christianity Explained, to Alpha, to some opportunity to hear the gospel? Thank you, you three. You've been fantastic. Look at that. Give them a hand. You can sit down. I have a list of people at home, five people. Five is a good number. You may have more or less, but five people who I'm just praying, God, would you give me an opportunity? Give me an opportunity to say, would you come? Give me the courage when the opportunity comes to say, would you come? It's been so wonderful to see even one of my wife's nieces, no Christian background, came and did Alpha and found Christ. Yesterday I was with some people and they, a small church plant down in Fernvale, and they have just started to do Alpha with some people there, and they're talking about how these people are starting to open up their hearts to Christ. And it's a joy and a delight, but it means someone has said, would you come to the table? I wonder if you would bow your heads in prayer for a moment, and I'd love to pray for you before Jenny comes back and joins me. And first is perhaps just in your own privacy there, is there somebody you could be inviting? Is there somebody you could put on a list and actively be praying, God, would you give me a chance that I may be one of those harvesters that see people come into eternal life? Would you give me the courage to overcome the fear of rejection and to make their eternal destiny more important than that? And maybe there's somebody here this morning, you've never actually received that love yourself. There's so much more that this table brings, but we haven't got time to talk about it all this morning. But this morning, at the very least, to know the love and the acceptance and the forgiveness of Almighty God. And if that's you, there's going to be an opportunity to come and receive prayer later on. And I encourage you to come and do that. Lord, for everybody here this morning, Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to bring people into your love. I pray that we will be open to that opportunity, mindful of that opportunity, courageous in that opportunity. And there'll be many people who today are in this city, they're not in this place because they don't know you, but one day they could be. We ask, Lord, that your house will be full because your people say, would you come into this arms of love? And we ask that in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen, 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 amen.